This is the second-year Greek class of the Baptist Bible Institute and Baptist Bible Seminary, sponsored by the Bible for Today. It's the date is April the 28th, 1983. It's the 12th lesson in our second semester, the 12th series and 12th session. It's from John, the Gospel of John, 18:27 through 19:16. The pages in Dana and Maddie that we'll take up are 268 to 277, paragraphs 243 to 259. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
Let's open with a word of prayer, shall we, as we begin our class. We ask the Lord to help us as we study Thy Word. We thank Thee for it. We thank Thee that it is never wrong, it is never in error, it is perfect and inerrant and infallible. We thank Thee, Lord, Thou hast preserved it for us in this language and in this text that is before us, down through the many centuries. We pray, Lord, for faith to believe it. Give us wisdom and understanding. Be with Ruth and Bill and Mr. Arson and me as we grapple with the various problems to come along. And bless our hearts as we endeavor to please Thee and serve Thee. Help our ministry and our Bible for today. And give us wisdom as far as the possible Hebrew course next year. And that we may know what to do, how to do it, and when to begin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Going at 18:27, is it? I'll read it first, and then, is it a long one or a short one? Let's look first of all. Is it 27?
Yeah.
All right. It's a short one. Okay. Bill, let's do it.
18:27. Ernestato ho Petros, kai el Theos, alector, es folisen. John?
All right. Read that, and then we'll address that.
Palin un erinsata.
Ernesata.
Ha Petras kai Elfels Lector Ephonason.
Ephonason. Okay, go right ahead then.
Therefore Peter Pollen, is that again, Pollen?
Yeah, Pollen's again.
Therefore, Peter again, and what is that?
Here, Nathan, for paranoma, to deny.
Okay.
To say no to.
Denied, and immediately the cock crowed.
All right. So the crowed is what? A funny sound. From phoneo. That would be the sigma. You have the what? Phoneson. Sigmatic ending from phoneo.
The imperfect.
That would be your error. See, there's a sigma. See, the imperfect you have to be e and phonen, f phonen or f phonen or something like that. But the a side of the sigma would have to be first error. See. Okay, and of course, ernesato, let's say that would be your arnaomai, the middle form, because arnaomai also would be the aorist. And he denied, and straightway the cock sounded or crowed, made the sound that it normally gives, or which would be crowed. And as we pointed out last week, Bill, when you were not here, the may was used for the first two denials of Peter. It's interesting. It's certainly not true, is it, that you're one of them? He said, no, you're right. Second one, it's certainly not true, is it, that you're one of them? No, not. But this last one, verse 26, it's ook ego se. It's certainly true, isn't it, that I saw you with him, see? He said, oh, no, but let me see. It's easier to say no when somebody puts the answer expected as no. Mm-hmm. But here, when they said yes, and he still denied, so he really was of a mind. All right, any other comments on 27? Ruth, take 28, please.
On 18:28, I will send un tani sun apo tu caiapha esto praetorion en de proia cae autoi uc es erophon esto praetorion hena me mian sosen al hena phagosi to pasca.
Alright.
Augustin un ton eosun apo tu caiapha esto praetorium in de proia. Kai altoi ut eupon esto praetorium. Hina me mian dosen al hina fagusi to pasca. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. But it was morning, and they did not go into the praetorium in order that they should not be defiled, but in order that they might eat the Passover.
All right, itself then, as I asked the fair from my face then, present of Femi, Ferete, the present of Pharaoh, see. Defilement, apparently entering into a Gentile place. That's probably what would defile them. Phagosi is what they're...
That's the subjunctive.
All right, aorist subjunctive, isn't it? All right. Agusin is present in itself. Mian phosin is what? I was looking at the verses 29 and 28.
Passive. Passive.
All right.
Is that
well, it's aorist. Yes, it is aorist passive. Subjunctive, isn't it? Mianino. Miaino. It's miaino, see. Miaino. So it's mian phosin that they might be defiled in the past. They might not be defiled. Phagosin aorist of subjunctive of esteo. Are any other comments on that?
Going into where Gentiles were.
Apparently so. That was the thing that defiled them. And also having anything to do with a trial or something that would bring blood on somebody's head. I believe that was the thing. We came onto this defilement another portion, didn't we, in John? Because you asked the question. You asked the question of me. And is there something in the Old Testament about being defiled certain ways? Of course, the Gentiles were dogs, and, you know, coming into that Roman court at that time, a holy place, they didn't want to do anything like that. They had to do with the secular.
That was not written in the scripture. This was something that they had.
I think probably it's something they had, although. I don't know the scriptures. I don't remember anything in scripture specifically, although I know that the Gentiles were unclean and they should not defile themselves by doing certain things and not doing certain things, and this probably is one they added to it, even though it might not be in scripture. All right, 29 then, please, Bill.
John 18:29. Exelthen un hopilatos pros autus kai epe tina categoria ferete kata tu anthropu tutu. John.
All right.
Pilate then went out to them and said, "What is a
categoric accusation?
Okay. What
charge? Legal what, term? Categoria?
Accusation."
That from Pharaoh to bring.
Okay. Bring against this man.
Are you bringing
against
plural?
This man? What accusation are you bringing against this man?
All right, that's the end of that verse, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and Pharaoh's presence, of course, of Pharaoh. Any other comments on 29? Exhale, then, aorist of exhale from my face in the presence of Femi. Say. All right, right ahead of the next one, verse, please.
18:30. Apocryphison kai epon auto e me ein hutos kakopoios ukan soi paradokamen auton. John.
They answered and said to him, "If this one were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him over to you."
All right, that's 29. Apocryphison, that's what it is.
It's passive, isn't it?
Yes, and it's aorist passive because of the theta eta sigma. See, the face on, aorist passive, they made answer, an answer was made for them, something, some idea of a passive there, apocryphison. Apon is aorist of lego, for your own present active participle for you, and then para dukkha means what? Well. From paradidami.
That's the
aorist. The aorist, all right, of paradidami. But I've given him over to you, all right? They were not a malefactor. They assumed he was guilty before anything else. All right, Bill, next one, please.
On 1831, apanun autois hopilatos, labita auton humes, kai kataton nomon humon krenate auton, apanun auto hoiudaioi, hemein uk existen apoktenai udena, John.
Okay. Okay, pardon that delay. Bill, was the Jew that was translating? Go ahead.
Pilate then said to them, ye take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him,
it's not lawful, it's not needful,
oh, okay.
it's not possible.
Not, it's not lawful.
You mean for us?
For us, okay, to kill anyone.
Anyone, okay. Is that stop right there, I guess, isn't it? So that's 31. Labetet, you take, that's the aorist imperative of lambano, crinate, aorist of crino, and existen, present impersonal of exeme. Apoktenai is aorist imperative of apokteno. I say that just to hasten along, Bill, does not take too much time, I think. All right, go right ahead, Ruth, or any other comments on it. Just interrupt as we go along, if there are.
1832. Hena halagos tu Jesu plerothe han epe semainon toyo thanato emelen apothnesken.
All right.
In order that the word of Jesus should be fulfilled that he said, signifying what kind of death he was about to die.
All right. So this is the prediction of crucifixion, because the Jews couldn't put anyone to death. It had to be Roman fashion. And, of course, Plato Thay is what, Ruth?
Is that aorist passive?
Aorist passive. The subjunctive, yeah. Plato, right? Uh-huh. It might be fulfilled. Semainon is the present of semaino, present active participle. Emelen, imperfect of mello, and apophneskein, present of apophnesko. So the Roman crucifixion was the way that he was about to die. All right. Any other comments, questions? Right. Otherwise, Bill, 33.
John, 1833. Es elthen un ex to praetorion polen hopilatos, kai efonese ton Iesun, kai epen auto su e ho basileus ton Iudaion, John.
All right.
Therefore, Pilate came into, I guess that's Judgment Hall.
The Judgment Hall, Praetorian, the Judgment
again,
Hall.
And is it heard or?
If one is called.
Called.
Mm-hmm.
Called no. Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews?
Mm-hmm. Is that the end of that verse?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Are you the king of the Jews? Aesilthen is the aorist of Exercomai, and Aphonisen is the aorist of Phoneo. He called them and says, are you the king of the Jews? See what Jesus responded. Ruth?
On 1834. Apocryphe auto ho Jesus, afhel tu si tuto leges, e alloy soy apon peri emu. John?
All right.
From yourself are you saying this, or did others speak to you concerning me?
You forgot the first phrase, didn't you?
Jesus answered.
Okay, yes. All right. All right, from yourself, he asked a very interesting question. Did you hear this from your own information, or did somebody else tell you about it? And legis pod edocan, let's see, this was 34, was it?
Yes.
34. Par edocan, is that in that verse?
I don't see it.
No, it must not be. No, I don't see that either. I forget there. All right, I guess we all said on that one then. All right, 35, that must be the one that's in there. Bill, we're going to have a 35.
Mm-hmm. 1835. Apocryphe hopilatos meti ego judaeis emi to ethnos toson kai ho archia res paredo canse emoi ti epoiesas.
All right.
Pilate answered, am I...
Notice it's a may question.
Expecting a no answer. Am I a Jew?
I'm certainly not a Jew, am I?
Yeah.
The answer, of course not.
The nation...
Tasson, the nation of the yours.
Okay, your nation. And the high, or the high priest, or
the high priest, plural, high
gave to me, or
gave you to me,
gave you,
or
to
betrayed you to me. See,
okay. What say you, or
What have you done? All right, that would be 35. And legis is present. Paredokan, heirs to Paredidome. Didome, epoiesas is the heirs to Poeo. What did you do? They want to know what you do. What you tried. What have you got you up here for? Going to kill you? See what the Lord said. All right, any question or comment? Ruth, a long one?
Yeah. She was not a Jew, but she was from that region.
That's right.
He was from Bithynia.
Yes, he should have known. All right, Ruth, go right ahead, and then Bill's got a long one too.
John 18:36. Apocryphe ho Jesus, he basileia, he eme, ukestin ek tu kosmo tutu. E ek tu kosmo tutu, ein, he basileia, KMA, hoi hukeretai, an hoi emoi ego nidzonta, hena me paradotho, tois judaios, nunde he basilea, KMA, ukestin, en telfen.
Sha. All right.
Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my agents or officers or servants or something.
Servants, yeah.
My servants would be fighting in order that I should not be delivered over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hither, from here,
from that source as to the world.
Then.
Is that the end of it? Is that the end of it? All right, 36. Estin, present of Amy, a gonidzonta, imperfect middle. They would certainly be fighting and struggling. And paradotho, heirs passive subjunctive, or paradidomi, that they might give them over. See, that's 36, that they might not be given over to the Jews. All right, and notice he says, Ninde, now my kingdom is not from this world or of the world. Anything to do with it. Later, when he comes in glory, he will establish the millennial reign of Christ upon this earth, and his own reign upon the earth. So it's interesting he puts that qualifying noon in there very clearly. All right, Bill, are you ready for your long 37.
On 1837. Hepenun auto hopilatos. Hukun basileus esu. Apocryphe ho Jesus, su leges, hoti basileus, eimi, ego. Ego, eis tuto, gegenne mai, kai eis tuto, elelufa, eis ton kosma, hene matureso, te aletheia. Tas, ho on ectes aletheias, acui mu, teis fones.
Pilate then said to him, is your kingdom.
And this is with the U. See, it's ukum, but it's one word, but it's the U expecting a what answer?
Yes.
Yes, we. Is that right, Bruce? The we on there. O-U-I in French.
All right.
So how would that be?
Your kingdom.
No, not kingdom. Here's Basileus, which is king. So
oh,
Basilea,
okay.
Kingdom, but, and this is Basileus.
All right, the question is, are you...
Then.
Or
therefore...
King.
A king?
A king, okay.
And the answer is yes?
Is yes.
You really certainly are king, are you not?
Yeah.
The answer is seemingly yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king.
Notice the emphatic to you. You say that I'm a king. See? You invite for your presence. Go ahead.
Okay. Came into this, I guess you could say maybe this world or something.
That's possibly. I came to this.
Sorry.
This place or this world
okay.
Or this area. This mess. This terrible mess in the world.
And
right?
Into this
actually, because of this, probably astuta, in the sense of causal use of ace, probably would be better. Because of this, I have been born and it came into, see, that would be genomai, but this is genao, see. Genemai, the double noon, see. For this purpose, or for this reason, I was born, see.
Okay.
Genemai. And for this reason, eletha aston kosma. Because
came
of
I
this,
in,
or for this,
came I into this? Into
I
the
came
world.
Into the world, all right?
In order that I might witness the truth, or witness about the truth.
To the truth, mm-hmm.
The truth. Being in the truth, hear me.
All those who are being in the truth or from the truth, hear me, right?
Hear me.
Hear
my voice.
Hear my voice. Okay. 37. Genemai is the perfect passive indicative of genao. So for this cause, for this purpose, ace tuta, because of this, I have been born.
In order to be a king?
I think so. And all, well, he said in the later, to bear witness to the truth, see, that I may bear witness to the truth. But the question was, are you really a king? To this cause of been born? And it seems to be, but he wants to bear witness to the truth. He didn't deny that he was a king, and that I think that's implied in it. I really do. Although he says, I've been this born for this, that I may bear witness to the truth. And Lelitha is a perfect of Erkamai. I have come to learn Martoveso, aorist subjunctive of Martoveo. Akue, of course, is the president of Aku. Any other comments, questions? All right, another long one looks like, doesn't it? A little bit.
John 18:38. Lege auto hopilatos. Ti estin aletheia. Kai tuto epon talen ex elthe prostus judaeus. Kai lege autois. Ego udemian. Aetian, Herisco, and Alto.
All right.
This is very interesting.
Yes.
What would have happened if he would stay and Jesus would explain him what is the truth?
Right.
Would he be converted?
No, he would not. But it would have happened. Right, Ruth?
Pilate is saying to him, what is truth? And having said this again, he went out toward the Jews and is saying to them, I find not one fault in him. Is Udamian more than just no, Dr. Wayne?
Udamian is, see, where is that, 38?
Yeah, well,
yes. Not one, that's right, not
that's
one fault.
Stronger than just saying I find no fault.
I would think so, not one single fault or cause of fault or blame in him. Yeah, I think so. Udamia, not one fault in it, not one area of charge that can be brought successfully against him.
He could have put just
uk. That's right. I do not find fault, but this is identifying one point. Udamia. Haste me a hand, see? And this is the feminine because it goes by tian, and therefore uda, which is nothing. I find nothing, nothing one, not even one fault. All right, that's good. That's 38.
I read in other books that he has spies behind Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
And the spies have reported that it's nothing to be accused.
Right. Apon is second aorist of Lego. Heurisko is the present of Heurisko, of course, and that pretty well takes care of our verbs. No, he said, what is truth? That was a dodge. He didn't really want to hear about things, I think, sure, like that. The Lord could have told him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. All right. Go right ahead. Not one fault. I find not one single fault. 39, please, Bill. That's another long one.
John 18:39. Esti des sunetheia humi. Hena humi. Apaluso ento pascha. Dulaste un humi apaluso ton basilea ton judaion. John 8.
Okay.
But ye have. What's the.
Well, there is a custom to you, a custom to you.
Okay.
Rather than you have. It's an impersonal. There is a custom or a. Practice a habit, sort of a
custom, that I will or shall release,
or that I might release, probably a subjunctive.
I might release one to you in the Passover.
Mm-hmm. In the Passover season, or at the Passover time. Go ahead.
I shall, do you wish, let's see what I'm saying, that was a question. What is a bulutz?
Bulumai is to want or to wish.
Oh, okay.
What's the synonym of fellow?
Right. Do you wish that I would release, therefore, do you wish that I would release to you, the King of the Jews.
All right.
Something like that.
That's right. 39. That's right. Do you want me then to release the King of the Jews? Apoluso, probably first aorist subjunctive here, apoluo, although it could be future active indicative also, apoluo, but this would probably be the subjunctive. After Hina. And bulesta. Bulesta is present, middle indicative of bulamai. And the difference that we were taught always from bulamai versus thelo was that thelo was an emotional wish. Could be whim, it could be very forceful, it could be very hot and emotional and charged, but bulamai is the wish of the will and of the mind and that sort of thing. So it's a high, do you really wish and want in your mind that I should listen to you, the King of the Jews? You see, is it a mental desire? He knew their hearts were inflamed with hatred and passion against Christ, but he appealed to their mental fairness and justice. Here they have the murderer, and here they have the Savior that was sinless. And so, bulamai. It's interesting, that word is used. Any other comments, Christian? All right, go right ahead then for the next verse.
1040. Ekraugaston un palen pontes legontes me tuton ala ton baraban einde ho barabas.
Then they cried out again. Then they all cried out again, saying, "Not this one, but Barabbas." But Barabbas was a robber.
Right, and or now, or but, Barabbas was a robber. So they picked the robber instead of the Savior. It's a common practice to this day, isn't it? A Klaugason, the heiress of Kargadzo. And Lego test, present active participle. Lego. Any other question now?
Yeah, Dr. Wade, Barabbas
yes.
was a robber, late face, and Judas was a cleft face.
Yes, that's
remember
it.
They in John 10.
Yes, there was a quotation.
The robbers.
That's right.
All that came before me were
thieves. He's wrong. That's interesting.
Here they are.
Here they are. Both of them.
Yes, yes.
And in addition to that, he's the father of whatever it is, the murderer also in other gospels. Right. This man, this Barabbas. That's interesting. Cletus and Lystus. Yeah, they rhyme. All right, that's good. Any other comments? All right, let's take chapter 19. We have 16 verses. I think we'll handle it all right. Not any problem.
The Gospel of John, chapter 19. John 19:1. Tota un elaben ha Pilatos ton Jesun kai emastigose. John.
All right.
Therefore, Pilate took Jesus and
scourged or beat.
Scourged.
Whipped.
Scourged him, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. 19:1, Eleven is the aorist of Lambano, and Mastigosen, aorist of Mastigao, aorist. Whipped him and beat him with a terrible lashings, terrible, painful thing.
They had the whip with nine tails. At the end of each tail had a piece of bone.
Bone or metal parts. That's right. Very bad indeed. All right. Many people died of that scourging. In fact, it was so difficult and painful.
They say in the, what was in the picture of the shroud of Turin, that there might have been two who have been scourging. Because of the lashes, how make the wounds.
Yeah. Well, that's a fanciful historical battle today, isn't it? What, genuine or ingenuine?
Yeah.
I am very skeptical, however, but a lot of them try to make a lot of it, Catholics especially.
All right. 19:2. Kai hoi stratiotai, plexantes stephanon, ex akanthon. Epethikon autu te tephale, kai hemation porphyrun periebalon auton. John?
All right.
And the soldiers plaiting the crown.
Having plaited. Mm-hmm.
Crown of thorns.
Or having made, I guess. Yeah, right, go ahead.
Plaited. Placed. Or laid,
mm-hmm.
laid it on the head, and threw around him a purple robe.
All right, the plexantes, aorist, participle of pleco, to weave, ethikon, aorist of epitithemi, put it in place, the periabalon, the second aorist of periballo, to throw around, put around the robe, purple robe, mockery as a king.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I read that in that area the thorns, they are so big and strong like nails.
That's very true. Very strong thorns. Very painful. All right, Bill, number 3.
19:3. Kai elegon chaire habasileus ton judaion. Kai edidun auto rapismata.
All right.
And they said, we're saying, so like greeting or
greeting, hello, rejoice, greeting, or something like that. Hail.
The King of the Jews, and giving to him, or.
And they were giving to him. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Epispata. Raps on the, or blows, or beatings,
okay.
Or hits. Punches, something along that line.
Okay.
All right, that's number 3. Erchonta, imperfect mental, erchomai, they were beginning to go. Elegon, they were saying imperfect of Lego. And then edidosan, imperfect of didomi. Three imperfects lined up one after another in verse 3, showing the type of action. Continuous action. They were continuously doing this and this and this. All right. Any other question there?
Just notice in the King James here, it says they smote him with their hands, but mm-hmm. hands is not in the italics or anything.
No.
Is there something for hands in there?
Well, the rapismata would be the blow that would be inflicted by the punching and hitting.
I think it says with the open palm.
Probably could open.
Slaps, the blow of the slap.
Understood. Just what,
what do you have on the wrist?
It is somewhere in the Psalms or some prophecy that
the palm, they
broke the jaw.
And my jaw, my bones are out of place, and also I don't know about the jaw, but the bones are out of place.
The bones are out of the place. That's it.
Yeah. And this would be the strike with the hands, and so that's the perfectly legitimate with that word. See, they weren't hitting with a club or something. It was an open hand.
I cannot remember the word in King James, which is
all my bones, I believe, are out of place. They're out of joint. I think it's out of joint. All right, that's Psalm 22, I believe, Mr. Carson. All right, number four, is it?
Yes.
John 19:4 Exelthen un palin exo hopilatos, kai lege autois, ide, ago humin auton exo, hena gnote hoti en auto, udamian aetian herisco.
All right.
Then again, Pilate brought him out and is saying to them, behold, I bring him out to you in order that ye should know that in him I find not one fault.
All right. And verse 4, Exelthen, aorist of exerchomai, lege, present of lego, and gnote, aorist of gnosko, and herisco, present of herisco. All right. Not one single fault. He tried to get the Jews to change their mind. He was unsuccessful. All right.
John 19:5 Exelthenon ho Jesus exo, foron ton akanthenon stephanon, kai to porphyrun hematian, kai lege autois, ide ho anthropos.
Then Jesus came out.
Outside. Foron, bearing or carrying, see from ferro, to bear.
Okay.
Carrying.
Bearing the crown?
Stephanos is crown, and Akamthanon tells what it's made of, see, the thorny crown.
Crown
the thorn crown, see. Crown made of thorns.
And
Hematian, the robe.
Robe.
And then the color of it, porphyrun.
Red.
The purple.
Purple.
For royalty. Regality.
And said to them, see the man.
I see the man, I behold the man. All right, in this case, anthropos certainly is a male, not just anthropos in a general human being, but this is an interesting use here. And that was verse, what, four?
Yeah, five.
All right, foron, present of foreo. Actually, that pharaoh, it's akin to pharaoh, to bear, but foreo is actually a separate verb. Edu is the second aorist middle imperative of edon. Behold, look at it, see him, see the man. All right, Ruth, the next one, please.
John 19:6 Hote un edon auton hoi archigeres, kai hoi huperetai, exhagason, legantes, stauroson, legi autois opilatos, labete auton humes, kai starosate, ego gar uch herisco en auto aetia.
All right.
Then, when the high priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify, crucify. Pilate is saying to them, ye take him and crucify. I am not finding in him fault.
Mm-hmm. There's the softer expression.
Three times he said that same thing. On each time he
Udamian.
Different word. Yeah, two times he says Udamian,
yeah.
And this time he says Uk.
Yeah.
And in the three times he starts out with a different word. Is that significant?
As far as the order of...
In the Greek.
Greek. Where is the first instance?
38.
38?
Is it 38 or is it 39? Oh, it's 39.
39?
It says, I, not one, fall, fine.
I, not one, fall, fine. Okay, that's right.
And in 19:5, it says, in him, not any fault, I find.
Yeah, let's see, 19:5. I'm trying to find where that is here.
That's right before...
Yes. It's the end of 4, really, the end of 4, isn't it? That's right.
In him.
Yes, in
and
him.
Number 6 starts out, I do not find. Is that significant?
Ooh, Carisco. Yes, I would think it would be Ruth. Ucharisco, I do not find in him.
Is it the softening of his judgment?
Well, I'm just wondering. The latter part there, I do not find. See, that's the emphasis, because that's placed first. It's the finding.
Uh-huh.
Any false. The first one was in 39, 38? 39?
I think it's 39.
That is one
there you go. All right. I, not one fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's emphasizing the cause, the fault, the mm-hmm. cause of any judgment. So he's emphasizing that. Rather, I do not find. I cannot find it. See, here is no fault. The fault is not there. Not one fault. Then do I find is not mentioned. Now, another is 19 what?
5.
19:5. 4. 4 at the end of 4, yeah. All right. In him is the emphasis there. Definitely, definitely emphasis. Because whatever you place first in the Greek sentence is to get the emphasis. So in him, not one fault do I find. In him. See, maybe in others. In Barabbas, yes, but not in him. That you're having me to release Barabbas. So that would be the picture. In him, no fault. Barabbas, many faults. The other is, what's the first one there? Emphasis.
One.
Not one single fault. Emphasis on the fact, and the other I find, as far as my investigation and all of my inspection,
right.
That's the emphasis. Well, that is definitely everything is significant in the Greek as far as emphasis.
And the fact that he puts these words first
means that they're emphatic. That's right. Okay. The order, see. And I believe in Dana Mani, there is a in the index. I hope we can find the area of word order. See. Significance of word order. Let me see if we can. I don't see anything under word. Let's see if I can find anything under order. No, I don't have anything under word order. I wish we could so we could pin it down chapter and verse and I think. He probably mentioned it somewhere here, but I wouldn't know just the cases, the or, you know, it's the order of words. The syntax starts there on page 59 about language and the starting point and the ending point and assertions, the noun, the verbs. But that is true. It's one of the things in the Greek language. If we could only find it, I don't think we're going to find it here at this stage. But the order is very important. No, I just don't know where he would have that specific data. I mean, Robertson may have in the large grammar there. If we look it up afterwards, we could probably find the word order, and it would emphasize it, and probably refer maybe you'd gain some information on the data and manner. But it's not in the index. That's indexing is so important, so vital. That's why I'm trying to index that catalog of ours. Since we got still as detailed as possible. And I want you to see that, Bill, before you leave, the computerized index of the catalog, see, with 1,122 items, and I haven't finished the index, but you can see how fine you can smooth it out, and boy, you get right in there and open right up and see if you know how to interpret the categories.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is. Where were we?
Going into verse 7.
Okay.
John 19:7. Apokritheson auto poiudaioi. Hemes nomon echomen, kai kataton nomon hemon, ophele apophanein, hoti hauton Quion to Thou et poison.
John.
The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God."
All right, that's a good bill. Dr. Kirtisan is the aorist passive upper crinomai, Echoman, present of Echo, Ophele, present of Ophelo, to deserve or to merit or to have to do something, Apophanein, aorist of Apophanesco, Apoiasin, aorist of Poyo. All right, Ruth, number 8, please.
19:8.
Their law said dying for blasphemy, that's what it was, making himself the Son of God.
Hote un ecusen ho Pilatos tuton ton logon, malon ephobete. John 19.
Okay.
Then when Pilate heard this word, he feared more, or he was more afraid.
All right, he was fearing more, and he was more afraid. All right, that ecusen erist of akuo ephobete, erist passive phobeo. So he... To be afraid, he was even more afraid. He feared when he saw that the accusation was the Son of God. Here he's fooling with deity. It's not a question of just a normal thing. So he was shaking in his boots at this. All right, 9, please.
9. Kai eithelthen, eistho praetorion, palin, kai lege to Jesu, tothen eisi, hoda Jesus, apokrisen, uk eduken, auto.
All right.
And he went into the judgment hall again and said to Jesus,
from where?
Okay, from where are you? Where are you? Mm-hmm. That's right. But Jesus gave to him no answer.
Gave to him no answer. No response. Verse 9, he was silent as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, even so he opened not his mouth. He opened his mouth into certain areas and certain questions, but not all. He was closed mouth as a lamb. He could have answered everything, but sometimes we wish that we would shut our mouths more and listen. More than we do. He said, then, of course, the heirs of Echarachomai, the presence of Amy and Edokan, heirs of Didymi. Yes, Paul?
I don't know if there's any study been done in this, but at what times the Lord may have answered and what times he had, if there was a pattern to it.
Yes, I think from my cursory remembrance, he answered serious questions, not charges, but am I the Messiah? Am I the Son of God? Am I the one that's the King of the Jews? He many times would say, "Thou sayest that I am." In other words, yes, I am. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. You say that I am. Then that is, he is. But to the other things, what have you done? Well, he said, "I've always taught in the synagogue, and you've heard my words, and everybody here knows what I said. Why repeat it?" See, that was, he just, in some time like this, answered another word. The pattern was serious things that would mean he was God's Son. And he did, and hereafter he said, "You shall see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of glory." And they said, "What further need do we have? Let's kill him. This is blasphemy." So he really, when I talk to him about his deity or his messianic character or the King of the Jews, you know, the reign as he was, that's where he made reply generally in the four Gospels as you read.
Do you think that was one reason for that? Because maybe being misunderstood by his own disciples even?
Yes, I think so.
Nail it down to be sure that they understood that.
I think so. Exactly, and I think the Lord wanted everyone to see for what he died, why he died, the purpose, exactly. It was a question of blasphemy because of who he was, deity, and thou art the Son of God, and what further needs he. And this is, that proves his death at the hands of the Jews for breaking the law of the Old Testament and blasphemy was proof positive of his absolute deity. Even though they weren't knowledgeable that they were proving his deity, yet that's in effect what they did. If he wasn't God, they shouldn't have crucified him. But since they believed that this was, well, they didn't believe he was God either, but they pointed out the fact that he definitely said of himself that he was God. And yet, Westcott and Hart in their commentary said Jesus never said he was God. Never personally, you know, as if he didn't even know or believe he was God. My, all the way through, he's very clear. Any other one then? All right, what are we on, 9 or 10?
10.
John 19:10.
Bill, while we're looking at that, would you cut that AT option for me, please? Thank you. Is it Ruth's turn?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Lege un auto hopilatos. Emoi u lales, uk oidas, hoti exousian, echo, starosai se, kai exousian echo apodusai se, John.
Okay. I think it's top shelf, the fourth from the left, is it? The brown book.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Pilate is saying to him, you are not speaking to me. Do you not know that I have authority to crucify you? And I have authority to free you?
Is that true? Was that true?
No.
That's an interesting thought. He thought he was Mr. Big himself, wasn't he?
He starts out with Ook, so he says,
yes, that's right. He was so positive, he was so cocky about it, wasn't he? And that was verse 10.
Yes.
All right, oidas is the perfect of oida. Of course, apolusai to aorist infinitive apoluo to release you, staurosai, aorist infinitive of staurao. So he thought he was really Mr. Big, but he really wasn't. All right, Bill, take 11, and I'll be looking this up as we move on.
And 19:11. Apocryphe ho Jesus, uc eches exousian udemian katamu, e me ein soi dedomenon anothen. Dia tuto ho paradidus me soi mezzana amatian eche. John.
All right.
You have no power. What's ude mian?
Not one. Ude plus mian. Heis mia hen. Mia is the feminine form of one, the numeral one. You have not one single authority or
power, okay.
You see a power.
From me.
Katam, emu, over me.
Over me.
Against me, almost. See?
Okay.
Amen. Unless.
Unless.
If not, see, unless.
It was given you from above.
Okay. That's, do you stop there?
No.
Oh, go ahead. The atuto, which is dia with the accusative, Bill, which we're learning that is always what? Dia means with the accusative one thing and with the genitive and ablative another thing. Remember which it is? Want to take a guess and we'll see. You have 50-50 chance. Well, give me your favorite meaning for dia. The usual one that you always like the best.
I say through.
That's right. Yeah. Now that through is with the genitive, see. Dia with the accusative is because of, see, on account of. See what I mean? On account of this or because of this. All right, go ahead.
So this is with the genitive.
No, this is with the accusative. See, the tuta would be tutu would be the genitive.
Oh, tutu, that's right.
The tuta would be the accusative. So this would be because of or on account. All right. It's the non-normal meaning of dia. Through is the usual meaning, but dia with the accusative is because of or on account.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Because the ones giving to me.
The one giving to me or betraying.
Okay.
Me.
Okay. The one
giving me over, you see, betraying,
betraying me
to you, sorry,
to you, that has sin, has the greater,
major, or the greater,
right.
Or the greatest sin. Okay, that's 11, isn't it? Right, apokrithē is the aorist passive of apokrinomai, and eches, the imperfect of echo, eches. We have that eches, yeah. And ein is the imperfect of ami, and dedemenon, perfect passive participle of didomi. and paradus, aorist participle of paradidomi. That ein plus the dedomenon is a periphrastic, perfect passive periphrastic participle, the verb to be plus the participle, see. So they have, it was given, or has been given to you from above, is the force of that. All right, anything else on that one? All right, Ruth, is it 12?
Yes.
On 19:12, et tutu ezete hopilatos apolusai auton hoide iudaioi ekrazon legontes ean tuton apoluses ut e philos tu kaisaros pas ho basilea auton poion anti lege to kaisari John.
Because of this, Pilate was seeking to free him, but the Jews were crying out, saying, "If you should loose this, if you should free this one, you are not a friend of Caesar." Every one making himself the king is speaking against Caesar.
All right, that's verse 12. Exate. Imperfecto zeteo, ezete rather, imperfecto zeteo, they were seeking. At Kragason, they were aorist of Kragadzo, apoluses, aorist of subjunctive apolio, poion present of poio, and antilege, present of antilego. This I found, by the way, in Robertson, the portion is pages 417 to 425. And in the big grammar, the main index, and the title is Position of Words in a Sentence. He's got 17, 18, 19 points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 25, 9 pages, see, on this thing. He would have it. It's in here, but I don't. Of course, I studied this, had to outline the whole book, you know, large grammar, so it was in my mind. I knew it was somewhere, but I couldn't put my finger on it after 30 years. But in the index, it's beautifully indexed. This is a must for pursuing fine points of Greek grammar. Even though he's a Western Roman all the way along, still he does know his grammar, and he quotes all the different Greek grammars that have ever been written up to his age and time. Freedom from rules is the first subheading. Freedom from the Greek from artificial rules and its response to the play of the mind is never seen better than in the order of words in the sentence. The play of the mind. In English, since it has lost its inflections, the order of the words in the sentence largely determines the sense. Whether substantive is subject or object can usually be seen in English only thus, or whether a given word is verb or substantive or adjective. Even the Latin, which is an inflection language, has much less liberty than the Greek. We are thinking, of course, of Greek prose, not of poetry and so on. The New Testament enjoys the same freedom than the older Greek. And predicate often first. In Greek prose, where the rhetorical element has less play, the predicate very commonly comes first, simply because, as a rule, the predicate is the most important thing in the sentence. That's why it comes first. Even importance and firstness go together with Greek. That's why anarche, ein halogos, kai halogos, ein prostanteon. And God was the word. See, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. Kai theos, ein halogos. Not halogos, ein theos. The word was God. But God was the word. See, emphasizing his deity. And that's why they put it first. Then emphasis. This is one of the ruling ideas in the order of words. This emphasis may be at the end as well as the beginning of the sentence. So we ought to watch our ends as well as beginnings. Evidently, there are two points of Greek emphasis, in beginning and ending. See, the thing you put last sometimes can be very important also. Or even in the middle, in the case of antithesis. The emphasis consists in removing a word from its usual position to an unusual one. And that's why I've got to know what the usual ones are and where the usual and unusual is. So, alukon glukou poiesen hudor, James 3:12. Thus, in Luke 1:12 and so on, so it gives some examples there. Then the minor words in a sentence. In general, they come close to the word to which they belong in sense. Thus, the adjective is near the substantive and after it. So, hudor, so on, so on. These are the minor words. It gives the order of that. And then euphony and rhythm, it will not do to say that emphasis alone explains every unusual word order. Sometimes it's euphony and rhythm. It just goes with that sound, you see. It sounds better doing one way or the other. this is in just Greek prose from the standpoint of secular, not the Holy Spirit wanted them the way he wanted them, then prolepsis is not uncommon, where either the substantive is placed out of its right place before the conjugation, part of the conjunction rather, in a subordinate clause, like tain agapain hina gnotes, 2 Corinthians 2:4. The love that we might know. You may know the love of God, but the love you may know. See, it's placed differently. Then the histeron proteron, which is the cart before the horse. Histeron the last, proteron the first. The last should be first. See, that's the upsetting the apple cart, as it were. We occasionally meet also an example of histeron proteron, like Angelus Tuthu, Anabinontas, Kai Katabinontas, John 1:51. The angels of God stepping up and stepping down, coming, ascending it. Going up and coming down. They histron proton, normally they come down before they go up. Here they go up before they go down. And he explains this as to emphasis. Then hyperbaton, adverbs sometimes appear to be in the wrong place. The phenomenon common to all Greek prose for emphasis again. And then postpositives, fluctuating words, and the order of clauses in compound sentences. So there's even clause. So those briefly the headings of these pages. But that's important, the word order. All right, 13, is it, Bill?
Yes.
Take 13.
19:13. Haun Pilatos akousas touton ton logon egagen exo ton yesun kai...
Sit down, kata down or something?
Yeah, kathisen, put him, placed him.
Placed him.
Or sat him down, katidzo, yes.
On a pawn.
Or just he sat down, see, the pilot sat down, see.
Okay, and he sat down upon what's
the bema, the judgment seat of Christ. It's called bema. It's the judgment seat. It's the bema does in the genitive.
Okay.
The place where the judge sits, in the judge's seat.
into.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Bema is that word. This is a bema, very important word. Go ahead. Astopon, into the place.
Into the place.
Or onto the place, either. Legomenon, which is called, which is usually called passive.
Called, what is that?
Well, lithos is stone, stratos, strata, or like stratiotos. Lithos is stone.
Paved with stones.
That's it. It's the pavement. Or paved with stones. In fact, that's what they call it when we were in Israel this last summer. The lithostrata. What in the world is lithostrata? Here it is right in the Greek language. The lithostrata. Exactly what they call it. This place where they supposedly have some of the very stones they feel, the cobblestones that were there in the time of Christ, where it was near the Praetorium. Now, whether it's true or not, who knows? But they seem to, they claim they're authentic. The stones, the lithostraton, the pavement, actual pavement here, the lithostraton. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
But in Hebrew, Kabbatha.
Okay. Interesting. The G's, where the Lord was taken. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. Three G's. Mm-hmm. Interesting, and the preaching points. From the garden to the place of judgment, Gabbatha, to Calvary, Golgotha, place of the skull. Mm-hmm. All right, that was 13, or 14, was it? 13.
It was 13, okay.
Akousos is the aorist participle of akouo, egagen, is this aorist of ago, and akathisen is aorist of kathidzo, to sit down, take the place. Cathedral is the place of the bishop's seat, so cathedras, cathedral. The bishop's seat, where the bishop sits, is a cathedral. Legomenon, present passive participle of lego. All right, Ruth, 14, please.
19:14. Ein de paraskewe tu pascha, hora de ose hecte, kai lege tois judaios, ide, ho basileus humon.
All right.
But it was the preparation of the Passover.
Notice skewe means vessels. Vessel. So the power, the getting ready of the vessels, the preparation. Go ahead.
And the hour was about six?
Mm-hmm. Sixth hour. Mm-hmm.
And he is saying to the Jews, behold your king.
Okay, that's 14, isn't it? Yeah, there, behold your king. Aorist, imperative, horau, look at your king. All right, anything else on that? All right, Bill, 15, long one.
John, 19:15. Hoide ekaugasan aron, stauroson auton, lege autois hokilatos, ton basilea humon, stauroso, apekritesan hoi archigeres, ukekomen, basilea, eme, kaisara.
All right.
They did something, I don't know what that word is.
Let's see, where were we? The hoide ekaugasan? They cried out, klagadzo, they cry out, see.
They cried out, what's
Aram, take, from Iro, see, to lift, to take.
Oh, okay.
Take him.
Take, or I assume like,
Aorist imperative.
Take him, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king except Caesar.
All right. We have no king except for but Caesar. It's a sad thing. Take him, aorist imperative of Iro, stauroson, aorist imperative, staurao, and stauroso, future of staurao. Shall I crucify your king? And notice there's no clue as far in that question of whether it's me or who, is there? Is there? Wait a minute. Yes, there is. Okay, there's nothing. No, that's right. All right, Ruth, take the final one there, please.
John, 19:16. Tocta un paredoken auton autois, henna starothe.
All right.
Then therefore he delivered him over to them in order that he should be crucified.
All right. Paredoken, the aorist of paredidomi, starothe, first aorist passive subjective, starao. Parelabon, aorist of parelabon. That he might be crucified. So there he was, his sellout, wasn't he? Paradoken from Paradidomi. And that's the betray. He betrayed him. If Judas betrayed him or handed him over, now Pilate is betraying him. I mean, that's the word betray, isn't it? To hand over, to fork over, even though he was three times. I find no fault in him. Emphasis number one is what? Not one single fault, right? Emphasis number two?
In him.
In him. Of all people, Barabbas, yes, but in him, no. And the third emphasis? I cannot find it. As far as I am concerned, my evidence is contrary. Interesting. But they crucified him nonetheless. It reminds you of 1 Corinthians, which wisdom none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of Lords. But they did. All right, Dana and Maddie. Well, we're only 2 minutes from closing time, and that was quite a rapid makeup of that almost 30 minutes. We haven't finished yet, but we're almost to the conclusion. That's page 268, isn't it? Up to 277 tonight. To 277. All right, we'll notice on page 268, we come to the clauses. Regardless of what kind of comparisons are made, the study of language, the Greek language, with scarcely an exception, Dana and Maddie say, first page 268, proves to be the most accurate, euphonious, and expressive. Now, they're prejudiced because they're writing about it, perhaps, but I think that's probably safe to say. I don't know all these other languages they're talking about, but I certainly know that Greek is accurate, and it is euphonious, and it is expressive. It keeps its high average in the realm of clauses. And so it's very elusive. Many times the thoughts are, paragraph 244, not many grammars have a separate treatment of clauses, but not due to the fact that the clause does not represent a separate part of speech. By the way, what is a clause before we proceed? Not Santa Claus, but what?
Clause is part of a sentence that has a noun and it has a subject and a
How would we differentiate it from a phrase?
A phrase doesn't have a subject and verb.
No, it doesn't. We talk about a prepositional phrase. It's just a group of words not being able to express a complete thought, not with a subject and predicate, just like a preposition, into the house, from the school, at the desk. That's a prepositional phrase. Just several words, but a clause, you write, has a subject and a verb, or a subject and a predicate, and can be either independent, stand alone, we are in this room, or dependent, that we might go out. That's a dependent clause, because it must depend on something else, must lean on something else. That we might go out doesn't make sense, does it? If we said, we put on our coats in order that we might go out, or so that we might go out, that would be complete. That would be the main clause and the subordinate clause. That would make sense. So that's what we're talking about, the clauses. And there's many things, top of page 269, as to the general character clauses gather about the two pivotal points of syntax, the noun and the verb. They present a triple character, substantival, adjectival, and adverbial. Those are the three different ones that we'll treat. To treat them in three groups under this classification according to character would conduce to scientific accuracy. Notice that phraseology, would conduce, would lead us to. But would sacrifice simplicity and clearness. We employ in our grouping here the more obvious basis of their sense in relation to the context. For fuller analysis of clauses, B.R. Who that is? B.R. Page 82. What is his abbreviation of B.R.? That's Burton. Burton, New Testament Moods Intensive, which is an interesting book on grammar. As to the use of moods in subordinate clauses, general rule applies. Moods used in coordinate clauses have exactly the same force in subordinate, so either one is fine. All right, now let's take a look at the structural relation of clauses, and then we'll continue. The structural relation, when two or more clauses are connected in a coordinate relation, they constitute what is known as a compound sentence. The distinctive feature of the compound sentence is that in its structure, no clause is subordinate to another, but all are in coordinate or paratactic relation, paratactos, arranged alongside, para being alongside, tactos from ticto, tactos, tacto, it's an actual verb, to arrange like a soldier would arrange it, para alongside, equal. When one clause is subordinate to another, the relation is called hypotactic, or hypotactos, arranged under, hypo being under, rather arranged alongside of it. So the technical name for the sentence is complex. Now in English, give me some examples of complex clauses and compound clauses so we know what we're speaking of and we'll go on. Do you have an illustration or two? First of all, the compound. That'd probably be easier, maybe. Well, what are the coordinating conjunctions? Usually and, but, and or. Coordinating conjunctions. I went downtown to the bank. And my wife went downtown to shop, something like that. And, or you can say, you can go to the store, or you can sit in the room. Now that's a coordinating conjunction, and that's a compound sentence because it's connected with a coordinating, and those are of equal force. You can go to the store, can stand on its own, 2 feet, or you can stay in the room. You can stand in the room, can stand on its own 2 feet, right? Both of them are absolute sentences. So that's what we call a compound sentence, coordinating sentence, and they call it a paratactos, a paratactic relation. But on the other hand, the subordinate is when you have one that can't stand, and you use a subordinating conjunction to introduce that. That is one, who is one, because, since, however, you know, inasmuch as, all these are what we call subordinating conjunctions. For instance, use the word because. Give me a because and then a complex sentence. Should be a clause that can stand on its own 2 feet, but then the because clause can't stand on its own 2 feet. Give me a because.
Because it is hot. I took off my coat, but that big one can stay on.
Well, that's true. But if you keep the because in there,
that's true.
It would be leaning on the other. See, because it is hot, I took off my coat. Now, give me one with since, though. Give me a subordinating conjunction, which is subordinate. Give me a complex sentence. with or a what they call a hypotactic, arranged under a complex sentence with since.
Since it is so late, it is difficult to think.
That's right. Since it is so late, it is difficult. So the main clause is, it is difficult to think.
Yes.
Why? Since it is late. And that's, so that's the subordinate. All right, so that's what it is. Now, in some instances, the term for lack of a connective is asyndeton, asyndetos, not bound together. And sometimes there's no binder to clauses that just loosely, and of course in the Gospel of John, in the first letter of John, a lot of these are there. So a clause is simply the employment of a circumlocution by which we convey a meaning that we cannot readily express with a single word or phrase. Thus, I saw the man going home is modified and expanded in meaning by saying, I saw the man who was going home. You see, that's your independent clause, I saw the man. The dependent clause, who was going home. Who is the subordinating conjunction, and that's the thing that introduces, that's what makes it a complex sentence. All right, and this modifying function of the clause presents a threefold relation to the principal sentence. For instance, the clause may sustain the relation of a substantive, to use as a subject or object. It may have the function of an adjective, to use to modify a noun, or a clause may serve as an adverb. And so the whole clause can function like a noun, we call it a substantive, an adjective, or an adverb. For instance, this first one as a substantive, a noun. I do not have that which I may place before him. Uk echo ha paradeto auto. I don't have what? I don't have an apple. I don't have a pencil. I don't have a piece of paper. I don't have a book. I don't have that which I'm placed before. The direct object of the word to have, echo, is that which I may place before. Here you have one whole string of words used just as a direct object of the verb to have. Right? I don't have a book. I don't have that which to place before. So that's a substantive clause. Look at the second one, an adjective clause. It can function as an adjective. For instance, to thy seed who is Christ. To spermatis who hos est in Christos. To thy seed, you could just as well say to the seed of you, or you could say to your ancient seed or to your young seed, but here it's to your seed who is Christ. This is the adjectival relationship of who is Christ serving as an adjective modifying seed. See? To your old seed, to your young seed, to your seed, who is Christ. Yes, that's the relationship of an adjective modifying that. Do you see that one? That's a little more difficult than the first one, perhaps. Then the clause may serve as an adverb. I will follow you wherever you go. Now, adverbs modify either verbs, adverbs, or adjectives. For instance, usually after a verb, take the verb. This is the verb. I will follow you slowly. I will follow you up the hill. I will follow you wherever. See, the adverb tells where or how a person will follow someone. Here, I will follow you, instead of putting an adverb, I will follow you anywhere. Anywhere would be an adverb. But here, I'll follow you wherever you go. That's a whole clause used like an adverb. Any questions on those three types of examples? All right, let's go to the relative clause. There's the types of clauses. You'll see the relative clause first, then the causal clause, the comparative clauses, the local clauses, temporal clauses, and the purpose clauses, the result clauses, the conditional clauses, and concessive clauses, substantive clauses, yes, indirect discourse, which is also part of the clause, commands and prohibitions. You'll see these 13 different types of things discussed under clause. And that will bring us to the end of our course, by the way, to the appendix. Excuse me. All right, start with the relative clause. In English, what is a relative clause? What is a relative pronoun? Who, that's right. Who or what or that. It relates the person from one person to another. He is the one whom I sent. He relates the one and sent, being sent, whom I sent. Or he is the one who is the taller of the two, something like that. That's a relative pronoun, and that relative clause relates The relative is used to indicate clauses of various types. The variety in the nature of the relative clause does not, of course, arise from the character of the relative itself, but is determined by the nature and relations of the clause. And notice page 271, the relative is a word that means by means of which the complete expression of one idea is connected in sense with the complete expression of another. Thus, the man lives is a complete thought, and the pastures are green is a complete thought. These two sentences may become principal and subordinate clauses in a single sentence by the insertion of the relative adverb where. The man lives where the pastures are green. That relates the man and where he lives. And so that's a relative clause. Uses of the relative, paragraph 251. The relative pronoun has no invariable effect as to mood. It can be used in different moods. The indicative, notice in the bottom of that paragraph, assumes the actual existence of the event or thing denoted by the relative. The subjunctive contemplates it as hypothetical. So that's the difference between these two moods. Now here we have the indicative, and then we'll have the subjunctive. These are the two moods. First, the indicative relative clauses. That's the greatest in frequency, the indicative. Notice top page 272, these five different clauses, which are relative clauses, adjectival clauses. First of all, relative with the indicative mood. It's used to limit or define a substantive, performing just like a pure adjective. For instance, remember the word which I spoke to you. Instead of saying, remember the good word, remember the nice word, remember the false word, remember the stirring word, remember the word which I spoke to you. All like an adjective. You can see that very clearly. And you'll notice it's in the indicative. And notice the causal clauses, or the cause, relative may denote the grounds for the assertion. For instance, who died, we who died to sin, how shall we know, we longer live there in Romans 6:2. We who have died to sin, how shall we longer live? Because we have died to sin, in other words, that's the causal relationship. How shall we live any longer therein? Because we have died to sin. Because we have died to sin. That's about what it's saying there, see, as a causal relationship. And hoitiness is the relative pronoun that introduces that. It's not as clear in the translation as it is in the hoitiness up in the we who, because we died to sin. Any questions on that one? Then the concessive clause. Concessive is conceding something. Although I do this, or even though. So that may imply the idea of concession. Someday, some say tomorrow we will get gain. Who knows nothing about tomorrow? James 4:13 and 14. Hoitiness, of course, the relative pronoun. Concession. Even though, you see, who know nothing about tomorrow? Some say tomorrow we'll get gain. Even though, hoitiness, we do not know what's going to happen on the morrow and what's the next day, see. Hoitiness, again, introduced a concessive clause in the sense of, though we don't know what's going to happen, yet some say tomorrow we're going to get gain. All right, the fourth is the simple condition. The relative clause may be used as the protasis, the simple condition, the if clause. For as many as sin without law shall also perish without law. Hosoi. As many as. If we sin without law, we will perish without law. That's the idea. As many as. It's almost like an if. If we do this, then this will happen. Now, these are not as clear as some would understand. The purpose clause, relative clause may express purpose. He will let the vineyard to other husbands who will render to him the fruits. The Matthew 21:41. That hoitiness there, it's the who of purpose, isn't it? He will let the vineyard others for the purpose of rendering him the first. Who will be, you know, with the purpose that they will render. That's the purpose type of clause. Any questions on those five clauses used with indicative, the relative clause with indicative? All right, let's take a look at the subjunctive with relative clauses, where the idea is contingency, and maybe you we'll use the subjunctive mood, and there are just these two uses of the subjunctive. More probable condition, the process of a more probable future condition, may be expressed by use of relative pronoun with on. For instance, whosoever shall do and teach them, more probably they will do, he shall be called great. Hosta an poese kai didakse hutos megas kleisetai. So, more probable future, whosoever, hosta on, and then poese is the subjunctive. Whosoever might be, that would be the subjunctive with these relative clauses. Any questions on that one? Then the voluntative regular clause, that's the willingness, the voluntary, the will type of thing, result clauses. Have to do with wish or intent. Wherefore, this one must have something which he may offer. Hebrews 8:3. This one might have something which which he might offer. The ha pros enenke is your voluntative result clause. He might have something with the result that he might offer something. See, he wants to offer it, and with the result that he might offer it is the voluntative result. That's a little bit deep and dark also, but that's what
I'm saying. Offering that would be modifying the noun something which he may offer.
It does, really, doesn't it? This one must have something.
It defines which, what it is that you have,
yeah,
which he may offer.
Something which he may offer,
so
that's right.
Why couldn't it be stuck in one of these other places as an adjectival clause?
Yes, it is adjectival, all right. But it is in the subjunctive, see. So he wants to differentiate between the indicative and subjunctive. You're right, it is that. It could be adjectival. It's the mood that he gets the difference in. That's the only thing on that. We'll skip the fine print at the bottom of 273, the different construction, blending, purpose, and results, some correlative and interrogative pronouns illustrated, and so on. Then we'll go to the causal clauses. Having to do with cause. Why? Because of this or because of that. The coordinate causal clauses first, and the subordinate causal clause. Coordinate, inferential particle gar is a regular connective with these two coordinating clauses on equal grounds. For God is my witness. Gar. Martus gar mu estin on those. That's the statement usually that is used, and that puts them on. And then the subordinate causal clauses, that one is unequal to the other. There are four ways of introducing this causal. By a subordinating conjunction is the first way. Particles used are hoti, diati, kathoti, epe, epede, hothen. Also the phrases efho, efhason, anthon, and u, ahucharen. These are just some of the subordinating conjunctions, just like we have in English. Because, since, however, if, you know, all these are subordinating type of conjunctions. Because I live, you shall live also. Hoti, ego, zo. Here's the hoti. Because I live, you shall live also. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it? John 14:19. Because, and also it can be F Hasan Epoisata, since you did it to one of these. Or Matthew 25:4. Inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, you do it unto me also. Remember that in the judgment of the nations. F Hasan, since or because. It's a causal clause. And then you can introduce causal clause by dia with the articular infinitive. And Bill, this is what we pointed out tonight. Dia with the accusative is always because, see? And dia can be used. The articular infinitive, dia ta. Here's your accusative with dia. Because he was of the house of David. Because to be him. Because he was to be. See, the auton is a subject of the infinitive, Ruth. Remember, even though technically it isn't. But it's in the accusative. And it is like the subject of infinitive. Because he was of the house of David. Then the causal clause, the because, can be introduced by the participle. You don't even have to have any subordinating conjunction. No conjunction at all is necessary. You can say, because he did not wish to make her a public example. Matthew 1:19, me thelon autain degmatissai. Now notice, me thelon. Because he didn't want. See, just the very fact you have a participle, as we discussed earlier, and you probably don't remember, but under participles, one of the types of participles is a causal participle. And you can come up to a participle and you can translate it because of this. Or you can translate it since this, or on account of this, or if this, or, you know, all sorts of participles, and one of them is a causal. So you don't even have to have a subordinating conjunction, just go ahead with the participle. And then also the Matthew 18:25, and since he did not have anything to pay, me echontas de autu apodunai. There's no subordinate conjunction, it's just simply not having anything to pay, and you can translate that since he did not have anything, because that's one of the uses of the participle. Are we remembering that? Let's see if we can find the participles. They're not too far back, are they, in our book?
And you don't have to use the, they didn't have to use italics then, even though there was only two words translated, they could still translate.
That's right. That's right. Because of that beautiful, wonderful, majestic use of the participle. On page 223, you have the classifications of participles. The adjectival participle, the descriptive use, the restrictive use, page 225. Here, the adverbial participles are the ones that are the most pregnant with meaning, verse 226, of page 226. The telic participle, purpose. We do it, let us see, if Elijah comes to save him, see? So. If he comes saving him, for the purpose of saving him, see? You don't even have to put any italics. That's a part of the use of that word and the meaning of that word. Temporal participle could be time. When they saw the star, we do this all the time. Having seen the star, see, it's the temporal participle. The conditional participle, that's the if. From which, if we keep ourselves, dia eruntos. If, it doesn't say if, but it, as a conditional participle, if that's the way you interpret that, you can have if we keep yourself. Then the concessive participle, ontes. For if, though we were enemies, agar ephra ontes, being enemies, you can put the though. Though is concessive, even though it's not written. You don't need a conjunction. Notice 228, instrumental participle. She brought much gain by soothsaying, mantelomene. There's no conjunction there. There's no by. But if it's a instrumental participle, by means of the soothsaying, you can translate. The modal participle, like manner. John the Baptist appeared, how? Preaching, in the manner of preaching. That's the modal. Kerusson. Complementary participle, I cease not giving thanks just to complete the meaning. The circumstantial part of what are the circumstances? They went forth and ekeruxon, and it says exhalfontes. They went forth and preached with the circumstances, with the attending results that they preached everywhere. And the participle used is the imperative, hupotasomenoi, let wives be in subjection. It's just wives being in subjection, but that is let wives be in subjection. That was in 1 Peter 3:1. The participle used as an imperative. The same is used in the Great Commission. Having gone into the world, preach the gospel. See, that seems to be having gone in as a participle. But one of the uses of the participle is a command. And the King James translators knew it very well. They said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
It's a command.
Command, see, it's a participle used as a command. So the participle is so varied and so majestic, but that's what we have here. All that to say this, by the participle, a causal clause can be expressed. Because of, just for the thing, may equitas. Then by the relative pronoun, you can also express a subordinate causal clause with the relative pronoun. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, hoitinus. Beware of false prophets because they come to you. That could even be, so that's the way you get the causal matter. Who come to you because they come to you in sheep's clothing. You got to beware of them because of that. Any questions on the causal before going to the last one that we'll take tonight, the comparative clause? Comparative, of course, makes a comparison, emphasizes one as over against the other, compares this thing with that thing. Notice the particles used and then the moods used, and then we'll close. First of all, the particles used for the comparative clause. Those used most are hos or kathos. In this way, let a man think of us as a servants of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:1, hutos emas. In this way, by this means, hutos is your comparative pronoun or conjunction. Hina, pantes, timose, ton, hyun, kathos. If in order that they will honor the Son, as, kathos, as they honor the Father. John 5:23, that would be your particle that's used. And then the compounds, the second type of particle used could be the compounds of kata, namely katho, kathati, kathosper and kathaper. We have evangelized even as also they, kathaper, even as they, that's just one of the particles used for the comparative. We have done this as they, in comparison to them. The third, you can have compounds of hos, like hose, hosper, hospere, and hosautos. Hosautos, yes. Katabainon, hose, he was descending as a dove. Jose, that's one of the compounds you can use, just like comparison, his descent was compared to a dove. Then the fourth, the correlative pronoun hosos, and here again, still page 276, in the comparative sense, it's found only four times, each in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 1:4, by how much he has inherited a more excellent name than they. It's hoso, in the first word there. By how much. And the fifth way you can particle used is the comparative particle A, than. For instance, it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man. And that simple word A, plusion, A is the comparative particle. For a rich man entered the kingdom of God, Matthew 19:24. The sixth and final particle that can be used is the use of the phrase hon tropon, as or just as, in this way. See, on which way, tropos is way. Frequently in Second Clement with this meaning. That's one of the church fathers. Let's see. How often would I have gathered together thy children, just as a hen gathers together her little ones, Matthew 23:37. That's, of course, hon tropon. In the same manner, in like manner as tropos. Just as. So that's comparative. The particles used for comparison. Any questions on the particles there? All right, look at the moods that are used then. Page 277. Regularly, it's the indicative. Ye shall be perfect as your Father is perfect. Esses tel humes teleoi hos hopater humon teleos estin. Indicative, that's the usual way. He should be perfect even as the host for comparison. Where there's an element of contingency, though, the subjunctive is used. For instance, in Mark 4:26, or Galatians 6:10, rather, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Hos kairon echomen ergad zometha. Agathon. Ergad zomatha is the subjunctive. It's as we might have. Echomen. As we might have possible opportunity, let us do good. So that's the element of chance, or not chance, but contingency and possibility in doubt. All right, anything else on that one? All right, next week we'll take Dan and Matty, page 277 to 285, and we'll take John 19:17-20, verse 4. We're nearing the end. This is the 12th one. We have 13 week in the 14th week. That's 15th week. The 16th week is our exam. So that gives us 1 to 3 more weeks. Then there'll be the exam at the end. So we should complete it, Lord willing, in that time. Any questions further you may have? But if not, we're going to be pleased to close in a word of prayer as we, Lord, might lead you.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for this opportunity thou hast given unto us to study the Word of God in this difficult language which clarifies so many things for us, that we will understand better, and also we can tell to others better than we know now. Help us, as thou hast said, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We thank thee for Dr. Wade, that he spends so much time for us and with us. Bless him, O Heavenly Father. Inspire him with divine inspiration, that he might be able to present the Word of God as thou wanted him to. Now be with us as we are going to our homes. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us. Wash us. Sanctify us. Draw us closer to thee. And keep us closer, that the name of Jesus might be glorified in our lives. Yes. In his name, to thee we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, keep up the good work. We're sure we ended up a little late tonight, 9:08 instead of our 8:40, but...